Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres. Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie. Yesterday I mentioned, again, it was a bizarre side track we were on talking about in Rodenda, that this weekend is the actual 105th anniversary, the calendar, the exact 105th anniversary of the Easter Rising, 24th of April, and the 54 women, 45 were over 16, 9 were under 16, the 54 women who were killed in the Easter Rising not only have never been memorialised, but they've mostly been forgotten. The only place their names are memorialised, the 9 children are in the Children's Park beside St. Audience in Christchurch in Dublin. That's all the 45 children are remembered there. Their names are engraved on individual stones. And the only place the women are remembered is on the wall in Glasnevin, the memorial wall in Glasnevin, which has been defaced so many times at this rate. It's permanently covered, I think, and it looks like it's covered in black plastic for the last year or so, because it was, people would throw paint on it because British soldiers who were killed in 1916 were also on that list. Now, Barry Kelly is on. Barry, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Joe? Good to talk to you.
Likewise. Do you remember where you were on July 24th, 1976?
I remember it as though it was yesterday.
Tell us.
Myself, my buddy Pierre Doyle and Joe Gallagher were milking cows at the back of the Sunshine Home in Leopardstown.
Okay.
That's now, it's now the Laurel Inn. But we were down in the far corner, just there's a shed. Behind the shed is a little wall in Leopardstown, the stands, you know, for the race course.
The race course, yeah.
So we were milking the cows anyway, and next of all, we heard a submersible bang, and we thought, Jesus, what's that happening?
Mm-hmm.
So two of us jumped onto the wall, Pierre and myself, and we were looking to see if the stand had been collapsed or blown up or what, you know, at the race course.
Yeah.
So everything seemed to be looking okay. So as per normal, we finished milking the cows by hand back then. Finished anyway, put the milk into the churns, and away we went back to Rochester Avenue with Joe Gallagher, and there was no radios in the car then. So back to the farm anyway, and put the milk into the fridge. That was the bat of water to keep it cool.
Okay.
So long story short is, we in for the breakfast and turned on the radio, and we discovered what was that happened was that poor chap, Biggs, the British ambassador, he was at to be blown up on Murphy's Town Road.
Along with a civil
servant. Along with that poor girl, yes, exactly.
26 years of age, Judith Cook.
Unbelievable.
Now, did you go over to the site of the explosion, Barry, at any stage?
Yes, of course, sir. Because only up the road, so we lived in Sallynogan, but it was only up the road from where we were always up around Leopardstown and Sandyford. But there was a big crater there, about 100 foot by 50 foot,
mm-hmm.
in the road. It was there for about 20 years, to be honest. All she done was filled in the gap and put the tarmac at him on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I was only talking to my buddy Jerry Bulger. He worked next door to Glen Cairn House. He worked in Glen Cairn Racing Stables.
Okay.
And he was telling me not 10 minutes ago that he remembers the same thing. He was in the stables and they were just back from the first ride out. And Seamus McGrath shouted it to everybody. Everybody take covers. Just somebody throwing stones.
Yeah.
And of course, that was the explosion, and
the aftermath.
I could say that the poor chap who got killed, as I say.
And as I said, caller, it's on, pursuant to an article in the Irish Times about the underrepresentation of females in Irish public statues, and the our caller pointed out that Judith Cook, who was a civil servant, 26 years of age, who was murdered by the IRA because she was in the car with the British ambassador in Glencairn near Sandyford in Dublin, that she's not remembered. He has a, and in fairness, there is a Ewart Biggs Memorial Prize, but Judith Cook, and somebody said she's the only civil servant to be killed in the troubles in the course of her work. She was from England, educated at Cambridge, supposed to be very extraordinarily bright. That's why she went to work at the British Embassy in Dublin. Now, they said, do you know where that spot is now, Barry? Is it under an apartment block or is it under a road?
No, the road is still there.
Okay.
But there's just houses on either side, on one side of it. It's just grass on the other. Like, everywhere, it's all houses up there now. It was all farmland at the time. There was literally no houses back then.
I know that. And the Lewis Line is there, apparently.
And the Lewis Line is it's probably about 800 metres away, 600 metres away from Murphystown Road.
Okay.
It goes up to Bray, up the... not Brennistown, I think it's Ballyogan Road, it goes.
Okay, Ballyogan Road. Now, Barry, do you think there should be a plaque there to mark?
Of course there should. Absolutely. Some sort of memorial to the poor girl.
Yeah, but Barry, I come back to, people might be wondering why he was making the point about the memorial wall and the women killed and the civilian. There was no coming of man, thankfully, killed in 1916, but there was 54 women killed, mainly living in the tenements in the centre of Dublin. But the reason I mentioned the memorial wall is, if the memorial wall, which is the name of soldiers who were in the British uniform, which was the only soldier's uniform and you could actually enlist in, because we were part of the British Empire, and a lot of them were Irish, as you know. If their names are persistently being daubed on the by the way, they're part of 500-600 names on it, and the wall is permanently defaced at this stage, what hope has a plaque with Christopher Ewart Biggs' names on it, a name on it, British ambassador, and Judith Cook, who's completely forgotten, like the children in the Mountbatten assassination, Nicholas Knatchbull and Paul Maxwell, they're always seldom mentioned by name when we're talking about that atrocity. But the chances of a plaque surviving are very slim, Barry, if you don't mind me being blunt, looking at what happened.
Sure. I think people get more sense now. I know that, like, I always say, if at first you don't succeed, try again. But nobody has even tried to put up anything for that poor girl. Like,
okay.
She's like you and I. She went out to work one morning.
Yeah.
And didn't come back.
And it was 35. It's 35 years ago in 12 weeks. Is the anniversary of the 24th of July. And Barry, has there ever been a campaign to get a memorial erected out there?
No, as far as I know, everyone just wants to try and forget about it because it's a bad thing, but that makes sense.
Yeah, no one was ever caught for it. Stay with us, Barry, because Shay Connolly is another person he wants memorialised. Go ahead, Shay.
How are you doing, Joe?
Good, yeah.
Come here. To me, anyway, it's an incredible story, but we're down here in Ringsend. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Porrigo O'Rourke wrote a book about the war, the truce, and the last days of the War of Independence.
Okay.
And in it, he documented about a lady called Margaret Keogh.
Okay.
Who was shot the night before the truce in Stella Gardens in Ringsend.
Okay.
She answered a knock on our door. She went out and there was nobody there, and as she was turning, she was shot. And she went to, she was taken to Patrick Dunn's, and she was interviewed and everything, and she told that she heard a knock on the door. She got up down to the door, and exactly as I said there, what happened. And
but Shay, what year was this? Was this the Civil War or the War of Independence?
The War of Independence.
Okay.
War of Independence. So she, the truce came the following day. She was shot on the night of the 10th of July.
Uh-huh.
The truce was on the 11th, and she died, unfortunately, on the 12th.
Okay.
And on our funeral, the British soldiers came out of the barracks because the truce was in place.
Uh-huh.
They came out of the barracks in Beggar's Bush, and they saluted her. And there was 2,000 at our funeral.
Yeah.
And her father put up a one-foot heading on her grave in Glasnevin. And she was completely written out. Nobody ever heard of her around here or anything like that until Pádraig O'Rourke revealed all.
Mm-hmm.
And we set up a Margaret Keogh committee here in Ringsend.
Okay.
And we got a plaque erected, or sorry, a gravestone erected to her last year by the National Graves Association. And this year we've just got permission from Dublin City Council to erect a plaque on the Dodder Wall, just opposite our home in Stella Gardens. So, you know, it was just amazing. Like she was the first woman to die in 1916 was a lady called Margaret Keogh, the nurse on O'Connell Street. And the last person to was a woman. And the last person to die was also a woman, also named Margaret Keogh, no relation. And she was written out of history.
And there was other people killed in the Rings End. To go back to 1916, Margaret Naylor was killed on the last day of the Rising on the bridge in Rings End there.
That's right, yeah.
And bizarrely, now she's now in a grave with her husband, John Naylor, up in Grange Gorman Cemetery in Dublin. But bizarrely, on the day she was killed in the Easter Rising, which her anniversary is next Saturday week, her husband, John Naylor, was killed on the Western Front.
That's right.
So awful, awful story. Where are you with this plaque? Are we nearly there? Or?
Yeah. Well, Margaret Keogh was a member of Cumann na mBan.
Okay.
And she was a member of Cumann na Gaeilge. She was a member of the trade union and a member of the GEA. And she was only 21. And she was a formidable woman in the area at the time. And she had been arrested twice by the Crown Forces, and she spoke as Gaeilge to them. And they were doing a raid that night in Stella Gardens and Ringsend.
Okay.
And it's perceived that she was shot by British troops the night before the truce that they were out to get some people that were on there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but the fact that she was... that nobody ever heard anything about her. And now I know the Civil War came after that and people may have kept their heads down and all that. But we can't help but think, you know, that, you know, they were purposely written out.
Are there any memorials in... isn't there a memorial in Ringsend to the youngest, or one of the youngest soldiers killed in World War One? I could be wrong now. I thought it was a campaign. And I know there's a memorial to ship sailors, merchant.
There is on that. Well, just on Ringsend, you're talking about women. We're also looking to get a bust of Nora Barnacle.
Okay.
Because Nora Barnacle first met James Joyce in Ringsend Park. And there's a huge quietness surrounds what's happened. It's in the book Ulysses, you know, and their letters recounting that their first meeting in Ringsend Park. And she was also a formidable woman who stood by Joyce the whole time.
Absolutely, and a lot of Ulysses is set around that part of the country over towards the South Wall and Sandymount on the beach. I know a lot of Dublin features.
So we want to get a bust in Ringsend. We want to get some of the footfall that comes over here from across the world and visit, because one of the I've researched it myself, and the most talked about thing is what happened in Ringsend Park with James Joyce and Nora Barnacle.
Good point.
So we want to get a bit of footfall, but her anniversary, Joe, this year is actually on the 11th of back to Margaret Keogh on the 11th, and we have we're putting in place a commemoration, of course, COVID restrictions and all.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The best we can do to commemorate the 100th anniversary of our death.
Okay.
And it's only fitting and warranted.
And Shay, would you have, just from your work on that, would you have a view, given that it's the 45th anniversary of the deaths of Christopher Ewart Biggs and Judith Cook, aged 26, and Barry's... call Barry Kelly, who lives around Glencairn and remembers the day. He said there should be some plaque in the public area to those two people who were killed in 76.
I heard what your conversation there. So I think there's a big difference between British soldiers and the defacing of the glass and everything. And like, these were two different people. Look, we're coming out of our history is tortured.
Yeah,
and
is,
how we celebrate it, and it has to be sensitive at all. I don't think a plaque to those two people will be defaced up there. I think it's different than people wearing military uniform. So I wonder, we have to be very sensitive, but our history is tortured, and how we celebrate it is always emotional.
Yeah, that's a fabulous way of phrasing it, Shay. Our history is tortured.
Yeah,
it sure is, isn't it?
It sure is, yeah. And please God, we're...
Now, is it a big process to get a plaque erected? You have to get, obviously you have to get it designed and sculpted, and in terms of permission and the actual procedure of erecting it and how it goes on the wall.
We applied to Dublin City Council. I got all the councillors and the TDs in the area, cross party. They all supported it. And our last meeting there was on the 23rd of March. Councillor Micheál McDonagh is the chair of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was seeing him at Dublin City Council as well. And I just got news the following day that it was passed unanimously.
Okay.
So, I did have to do a bit of research. And the Margaret Keogh Committee, Matt Ward and Mick Bean and all them guys down here, they had done massive research on it. As it turned out, one of our grandnephews lived here and he didn't know anything about it. He was originally from Finglas, married a girl down here. I wrote a song about it, put it up on YouTube. He heard the song, brought it out to his mother in Finglas, and his mother said, "That's my auntie."
Yeah.
He's singing about it.
And whereabouts is the plaque going to, I hope?
Anyone that goes to the Viva Stadium, the Dodder Walkway down there.
Yeah, beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just on the wall there, that new wall that was put up for the time the Dodder flooded.
That's right, okay. And yeah. I know it'll be remembered, but she is on the wall in Glasnevin. In 1916, there was an 11-year-old girl, Bridget Stewart, from Pembroke Cottages there near Herbert Park, and she was making her way down the Dodder with her sister to bring her father his lunch. He worked in the Pigeon House at the time.
She
was killed on the Dodder Walk as well. Okay, Shay, let us know when that unveiling is happening and we can give it a mention.
I think she deserves it, yeah, Joe. Okay. Thanks for taking me call.
Okay, Barry, you've well, that's Shay saying he doesn't think it would be defaced.
I don't think it would be defaced because it's not as though it's in on the street. Not too many people walking around there, they're all residents, so.
Yeah, but remember Glasnevin, they broke into Glasnevin. They climbed over the 12-foot railings to get in with cans of paint on about 24 different occasions.
I'd be thinking it's probably too far away for the Yahoos to come out.
Yeah, okay. Well.
There's a lovely memorial there for the 1916 there at Newlands Cross.
Okay.
It's absolutely fantastic.
But as I think Shay put it well, but the fact of the matter is that our history is tortured. And
yeah, but these weren't, it's not as though they were soldiers or something. They were just normal, everyday civil servants.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Plus, he was only a young man, only married in the had been only married recently, and he'd only started the job in less than a year.
And he was he wrote about being a pacifist. But remember, the IRA justification for killing him, and they've never apologised. They stand over it, I presume.
Yeah, you know the IRA say burn everything except for the coal.
Yeah, but we'll check with Dundeary Ratdown. Has there ever been a proposal for? From any councillor or whatever, for a memorial to Judith Cook, 26 years of age, and Christopher Ewart Biggs. Okay, Barry, thanks indeed. Stay safe, Barry. That's Barry Kelly. Tommy Claffey. Tommy.
How's it going, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
Joe, I'd like to propose that Dublin City Council erect a statue to Imelda May and the Liberties.
Hang on, Tommy. Now you're demeaning the conversation. Not with Imelda, but Imelda's alive and well and hale and hearty and bright and bubbly and gorgeous and talented and creative, and her new album's just out.
Yeah.
Heard it being reviewed on Arena the other night. You don't...
Boy, you don't have to put a statue to someone that's alive. You have to wait till they're dead.
Yes.
No, Joe, I don't agree with you. Put
forward your case then before.
I seen a post that she had on Instagram and Facebook. Somebody told her in the industry that a woman of 40 was wasting her time because nobody in the industry would buy her records. That's ridiculous. people at the Liberty don't give up.
Tommy, we're talking about statues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why couldn't you put up a statue to Imelda Begg?
Because she's not dead, thank God. Thank God.
No, you don't have to be dead to put up some sort of acknowledgement to her.
Well, do you know?
Our album 11 Past the Hour came out this week.
That's right. Well, it's great.
And if she has enough downstreams and people to buy the record before tomorrow morning, she can show these so-called ones that told her after 40 years of age.
I never knew 40 was a cut-off point for talent. Yeah, but anyway, it's not.
But if people go out and buy the album, it'll reach number one and it'll be a kick in the teeth.
Have you ever met Imelda, Tommy?
I did.
Yeah. So anyway.
I met her up at the cemetery. And when she was in a rockabilly era. But I bought the CD. It arrived, funny enough, it arrived at 11 past the hour this morning.
Okay, well, that's serendipity. That's a message.
Yeah, well, I hope it's a good sign for
that's a message. But
I'm calling all the people, Joe. Hold on. I'm calling all the people in Dublin and Ireland to get behind one of the fantastic, one of the most brilliant singers that Ireland has produced.
Okay. And let someone
say to her, she's wasting her time and 40 because no one will buy the album. Well, the people of Ireland can show their support by downloading the album and get her up to number one.
And do you know a lot about Imelda May?
Well, I know of I know she's from around Meath Street.
Now, just hang on a sec, Tommy. If you do know a lot about Imelda May, tell me what statue was already outside where she was born in the Liberties.
There's one in the middle of the road.
Oh, well done, yeah. Straight to the top of the class. Yeah. It was erected in 1929, and it's a statue. It's a religious statue. It's in a grotto in the middle of a roundabout, so to speak. Well, isn't that right opposite where Imelda's parents were from? Or they still are. Thankfully. Okay. While I have you there, Tommy, what do you think of the proposal, which is Barry Kelly's campaign? The first caller, he wants 45 years ago in July, a young woman, Judith Cook, long forgotten, seldom mentioned, 26 years of age, doing her job, and Ewart Biggs, who was a British ambassador, they were blown up on a summer's day, and he wants a plaque. And I think, judging what's happened to the wall in Glasnevin, which is completely out of commission now for well over a year, I think it would be defaced. What do you think?
Well, I didn't hear the start of the program, Joe. So I'm not able to give you any sort of comment because I don't know the girl, but I wouldn't have a view either way.
Okay, Tommy, you what's business like up at the cemetery?
Quiet. But now that I have a Imelda May album, I'd be blasting her out. Dance would be darling.
Okay. I thought the cemetery was very busy, Tommy. People are dying to get into it.
I'll tell you another thing. RTE wants to look at. She's done a chat show, and it was the most relaxing chat show.
Yeah, that was lovely. Yeah.
It was like she was in your living room.
But was there an audience? Tommy, remind me of the Imelda May show. Was there an audience there?
There was an audience there.
Yeah, but there's no audience. That's true. Okay.
We're getting reruns of Daniel O'Donnell Fizzing, B&B's. I mean, how many choices do we have to have reruns and reruns?
Okay.
Get something new in.
Okay, Tommy Claffey, thanks indeed. 51551, Marchand.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Okay, on the issue of people who are written out of our, as Shay said earlier, our tortured history, the first call was from Barry Kelly, who wants this memorial to Judith Cook. Ask yourself, go on, who was Judith Cook? She was murdered here in Dublin, about 6 miles from where I'm sitting. She was blown to bits in July 1976, 45 years ago, because she happened to be sitting beside in a car the British ambassador to Ireland, Ewart Biggs, who was also murdered on that day. No memorial, no plaque. And then that raised the issue. It's 105 years this weekend since the Easter Rising. No memorial to the, well, the civilians killed in the Easter Rising. Pat, of which there was an awful, over nearly 300 of them. Pat Johnson. Pat, good afternoon. Another woman written out of history. Who is that?
Hi, Joe. Well, I'm actually, we have two women in the west of Ireland here who were very prominent in the 1916 Rising, but yet got written out of history.
Okay.
The first would be Julia Mary Morrissey, who was from Athenry.
Okay.
She was the leader of Cumann na mBan in Athenry in 1916, and of course Athenry was one of the few places that came
that rose up.
Yeah. And as Liam Mellows said, we held 600 square miles of Ireland free from Britain for a week.
And Liam Mellows, who was the rebel leader in around Galway in that part of the country, which was, you know, well, there was an attempt in Wexford, but apart from Dublin, Galway. And it was an attempt by the Kent brothers including Ashbourne in Dublin in this case. But and when did Julia Morrissey die?
Well, she died in the 70s. What happened, Julia, was that her brother had to go to America after the Rising. Her parents were dead. She was on her own.
Okay. And have you found her grave, Pat?
We did find her grave in Athenry.
Okay, okay. Well done. I'm over time. And Liam Mellows, you're right. Liam Mellows is commemorated by a beautiful memorial where he's buried in Castletown there near Goree in County Wexford beside the last church in the Dublin Diocese in Castletown. Back tomorrow, 1:45. Rebecca Meehan producing. Ray Darcy next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850-715-815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.